I'm going into the Old Testament tonight to the book of 2 Samuel, the first chapter and verse 19 for our text. There's a statement here that the Holy Spirit caused to be written that I think is a blessing. 2 Samuel, I'm in 1 Samuel. I have to find it again. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. This verse says, "The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen?" Now the context of this verse takes us back to the time when Israel's King Saul had been killed along with his three sons in a battle against the Philistines. They cut Saul's head off and they nailed his body and the bodies of his three sons to the city walls. Now there were a multitude of Israeli soldiers who also died in that battle because they suffered defeat at the hands of their enemies. So what happens when the enemy gets the upper hand? Now these words are a lamentation of David over their deaths. It was a sad day for Israel. The beauty of Israel is slain. You know, it's very tragic whenever the leader of a nation is suddenly struck down. Many of us here in the congregation tonight can remember America's reaction to the shooting of our President Kennedy. I remember in my front yard, I had a place there. It was kind of covered over with white rocks. It was quite beautiful. I had it decorated. Now it's all cemented over. But it was white rocks, and I had a little green bush at this end and a green bush at this end, and in the center of it, I had the flag of Texas. About 6 feet long by 4 feet high, and it was made, and it had rocks in it, colored red, white, and blue with the star over here in it. And I was at work in San Diego when it happened, and when the news came out that the president had been killed, my wife went out and put a sheet over that flag of Texas in my front yard. Because it was in Texas that he met his end. At the present time, I'm reading a book on my Kindle that was written by a fellow by the name of Bill O'Reilly. Any of you ever hear him? Amen. He wrote a book entitled Killing Lincoln. And I've been reading about that. And the assassination of President Lincoln took place way back in 1865, and it's still being talked about today. It's fresh in everybody's minds. How are the mighty fallen? David said. And I would like to make an application of this text to Judges chapter 16. Because this solemn epitaph seems to fit as a grave marker on another great man of God, a man whose name was Samson. Remember him? We have in this chapter the familiar story of Samson. Samson, the man who was chosen of God to lead the children of Israel for 20 years, back about 1095 BC. I want you to notice some similarities between Samson and our Lord Jesus Christ. Samson was a miracle child. His mother was barren, unable to conceive and have children. She was married to a man by the name of Manoah. And at this time, the Israelites had been in bondage for 40 years to the Philistines. They were slaves, servants. So God raised him up and sent him into the world at a time when there was great distress and the country, the people needed a deliverer. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world in the fullness of time at a time when his people needed deliverance. Not just deliverance from the Romans under whom they were in servitude and bondage, but rather an even greater bondage, the bondage of sin and death. So you'll notice the comparison here. We're told that the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. She's not named. Her husband is named, but she's not named. But the angel of the Lord appeared unto her. And then we remember over in Luke chapter 1 about a virgin who lived in Nazareth of Galilee. And the Bible says that the angel came in unto her. So it's already beginning to look the same, isn't it? See the comparison? The angel is announcing the birth to the one for the birth of Samson, and to the other, to the world, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This angel told Manoah's wife, "Thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Not a little girl, not a daughter, but a son. Just as he told Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son." See it? And her husband is going to find out about this. Manoah is going to be, this confirmation is going to be made to him by a special appearance of this same angel. And then we read over in the New Testament about the birth of Christ, how that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream and confirmed the fact that Jesus would be born of Mary. It's interesting to see the similarities. Now, Samson was to be a Nazarite. Jesus was a Nazarene. Nazarite means one thing, Nazarene means something else. Nazarene means that he came from Nazareth. But a Nazarite, the name Nazarite means devotion or holiness. But Samson was to be a special child. He was to be consecrated. He was to be set apart. He was sent into this world to accomplish a specific purpose for the Lord. Amen. You stop and think about it, you and I, in the world today, we're not here by accident. God has a divine purpose for each and every one of us. Some of us may live and die without knowing what that purpose is. But God is going to accomplish through us his divine purpose for sending us into this world. We may live 90 years and only in a 5-minute period, we may accomplish that which God sent us into the world to do. But he's in charge, and he has a special purpose for each one of us. He had a purpose for Samson coming into the world. He was born to be a deliverer, and Jesus had a special purpose for being born into this world. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into this world to die on the cross of Calvary to accomplish redemption from sin for whosoever will. He had a purpose for coming. He gave his life as a ransom for the souls of men. Now, the Bible says of Samson, listen to this. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Go into the New Testament, you'll find the Bible says of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, same words, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, during his ministry, performed many mighty works, didn't he? He went about doing good. He healed those who were sick. And he caused those who were lame to walk again. He caused those who were blind to see. Those who were deaf to hear. Those who were dumb to speak. He raised the dead. He walked on the water. He fed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. He did many mighty works. Why? Because the Spirit of God was upon him. Now look at Samson. In chapter 14 of Judges, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he killed a young lion that had attacked him with his bare hands. Pretty marvelous feat, wasn't it? In verse 9 of that same chapter, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of the Philistines. In the next chapter, chapter 15, verse 14, says again, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. He's doing some mighty works, isn't he? In chapter 16, verse 1, tells us that he went down to Gaza, and he took the great doors of the gate of the city, doorposts and all, and carried them on his shoulders for 40 miles, and set them up on top of a hill overlooking the city of Hebron. Mighty works. But now then, the path kind of forks. Jesus goes one way and Samson goes another. Because the great Samson fell. He lost his strength. He lost his power. Now, in a sense, Samson's demise was gradual. It didn't happen all at once. And I see a comparison here between Samson and our beloved United States of America. The power of America as a Christian nation has ebbed away over the years. I don't want to get political. But it happens to nations just as it does to individuals. And usually it happens in increments, not all at once. If all of the laws that have been passed against Christianity had been done at one time, the Christians in this country would have risen up against the government and against the corrupt politicians that passed such ungodly laws. But they didn't. It was like the little boy that had the puppy. It had a long tail. And he didn't want to hurt his puppy, but he wanted a bobtail puppy dog. So he started cutting it off just a little bit at a time, so it wouldn't hurt so much. Until he got it down to where he wanted it. That's what's happening to us. We're getting our tails cut off, as it were, a little bit at a time.
Amen.
But anyway, let's talk about Samson. Samson started off going to the wrong places and hanging out with the wrong crowd. The book of Psalms begins in chapter 1 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So we have to watch where we walk, where we stand, and where we sit. That's the reason why today parents have to be so careful in raising their children, to keep them out of gangs and out of the drug culture. If we're going to the wrong places, we're going to get into trouble. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, there are going to be certain places that we will not go, and certain things we will not do. When we examine Samson's life, it seems that the root of his problem was confidence in self. A lack of confidence in God. He reached the point to where he would look at the mighty things that he did when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he began to say, "Look what I can do." And a lack of dependence upon God will cause cockiness, and that will result in a coldness toward God. He had all of this power, and he started using this power for selfish purposes. God didn't give it to him for that. And as Samson grew cold toward God, he became comfortable in his wrongdoings. There's no doubt about it, there is pleasure in sin. The Bible admits that. But in Hebrews 11:25, it says that the pleasure of sin is only for a season. It only lasts a little while. And then it's gone. It has no lasting value. It's kind of like a person who will hear the word of God preached and taught, and yet he walks away without the word of God seeming to make any impact upon his life whatsoever. You know, James faced that problem, and he wrote in James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, he said, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is." On the other hand, we know that God's word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish that whereunto it's sent. But sometimes the word of God actually hardens a person's heart against God. Can you believe it? Listen, the sun shines, and the heat from the sun will melt butter if you put it out in the hot sunshine. And you take clay of the same consistency as the butter and set them side by side. And as that butter melts, that clay will harden. So it's not the sun's fault, not the rays of the sun shining upon both objects, but it's the substance that it shines on.
Yes.
And that's the way it is with the hearts of men when the Word of God is preached. Some, the Word of God will soften their hearts and bring them to repentance and bring them back to God. But with others, it may actually harden their hearts and drive them away. Now, everybody knows of Samson's encounter with Delilah. Stories like that we remember. It's like David and Bathsheba. When you mention David's name, 9 people out of 10, their minds will automatically go to his affair with Bathsheba, the wife of another man. When you talk about Samson, you don't remember the mighty things that he did, but you remember him getting a haircut from his girlfriend Delilah, don't you? Just like Jacob and Tamar. You remember these stories. Now, you remember that as a result of Delilah's nagging, women take note, Samson finally realized, revealed to her his vulnerability. And he revealed to her the secret of his strength. The Bible says, he told her this, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man." So, Delilah, armed with this knowledge, waited until he went to sleep with his head in her lap, and she called the barber. He came in and cut his hair off. Gave him his first haircut. And when he woke up, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. So his enemies, the Philistines, took him. And as the habit seemed to have been in those days, you read about this in more than one instance. Another cruel thing they did, they beheaded people. Cut the heads off. In our introduction, we talked about Saul. After he was dead, they cut his head off. Made a trophy out of it. But they also would blind people with hot irons. Can you imagine that? They take a hot iron and they stick it into your eye, and it just fries your eyeball, and of course you lose your sight, and it probably hurts a little bit too. I've never tried it, but I would assume that there's pain associated with that. And then you begin to dread it when they do the other one that way. And that's what they did to Samson. They put his eyes out. Then they bound him with fetters of brass and caused him to grind in the prison house. Are we depending upon our own strength? Don't do it. Don't do it. Is your spiritual vision so blocked and obscured that you think there's no real consequences for sin? Forget it. We want to take credit for ourselves instead of acknowledging the grace of God. We forget that anything of eternal value is accomplished through His strength and not ours. Sin impairs our reasoning. We begin to believe the devil's lies. And he'll come to you and say, "Now you know that God wants you to be happy. When in reality, God wants you to be holy.
Amen.
He tells us in His Word, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Another lie that Satan will tell you is, you've heard this one, eat, drink, and be merry. I should say that on a day like this, after we had such a beautiful dinner today, and well. But Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 that we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. And He says that if we do, we shall be filled. Then He says, God's left you. You're a hopeless case. There's no hope for you. But the promise of God is, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So we acknowledge our weaknesses and we depend upon God for our strength. Let's go back to Samson. I like the end of his story. Scripture says, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. After he was shaven. But he was still blind. He still had brass fetters on his body. He was still bound in a prison house. But then one day they called Samson. They called him out of the prison house, the Bible says. They brought him into the big temple of Dagon. He was the god of the Philistines. And he got his arms around the pillars that supported that temple, the main pillars of it. And listen to what the scripture says. Samson called unto the Lord, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. And God did. He gave him what he asked for. And the Bible says that old Samson bowed himself with all of his might and pulled those pillars down, and the house fell. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He went out in a blaze of glory, didn't he? You know, God is always ready and faithful to forgive and to restore. Regardless of who you are or what you have done, how far away from God you've wandered, you can call upon the Lord. He will hear and answer and restore your strength and fellowship with Him. That's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
I'm glad you're here tonight. And I appreciate the opportunity of bringing this message to you. And we're going to stand here. And Buddy's going to lead us in a song. Maybe there's someone here that you find yourself kind of like old Samson was. You've wandered away from the Lord and you've lost your strength and you don't feel as close to the Lord as you used to be. And tonight, this is a good time of the year, this Christmas season, to make things right with God. Come to the manger, as it were, like the shepherds of Bethlehem. Come to Jesus. Like the three wise men traveled, following his star, until they came to the place where Jesus lay. He's available today, and we can find him, and we can meet him, and he will hear our prayers. He will answer and restore us to himself. What's that?
120.
In the Red Book, 120. Let's stand together, please, as we sing. Out in the hall out there. So
we're going to sing a couple of songs.
Oh, you are? All right.
Have a seat.
Let's be seated then, and we'll have some more singing here.
And then we'll get you to have a prayer and bless that.
All right.